Bless those that are traveling. It's Labor Day weekend. I hope you're not working tomorrow. Anybody working tomorrow? A couple of you? Okay, well, God bless you. Amen. But hope you have a little time to enjoy your day, Sister Harriet. We're going to today do a couple of things. I want to share a word with you. I want to gather us briefly after service for a members' meeting, give you some updates on things. But first of all, I want us to go in the Word of God to the book of 1 John chapter 3. And also we're going to have you to receive in a moment some handouts. I want to give you notes today to save us time in teaching. You have notes in a moment. But 1 John chapter 3. And I want to talk today, preach, teach today about improving your serve. Say, Lord, help me improve my serve. Now, the graphic on the screen, you can see is a tennis player in various stages of a serve, okay? And if you play tennis or you watch tennis, you know that nothing starts, nothing good happens until you get the serve in. And I've played tennis, maybe you have played tennis, and it's one of those games, unlike basketball and football, tennis, like golf, if you don't get the serve in, nobody does it for you. And in basketball, if the guy's having a bad game, he can just let other guys pick up the slack. It's five guys on the team. In football, it's 11 guys on one side. Well, in tennis, you must get your serve in. In golf, you must get that shot off. Well, certainly, I want to use that just as an example today to say this, that there are always fundamentals when it comes to the things of God, to how we serve and how we bless the Lord. And what you'll also find is this. The real blessing in serving is you find keys to blessing in your own life. Now, if you ever have had a blessing come to you because of serving, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it's one of those things that the blessings aren't always monetary. The blessings aren't always in being recognized and praised. But there's the blessing of just a joy on the inside of having done the will of God. And the best part is this, that we get to do what Jesus did. Jesus himself, above all, was a servant. Amen. He even said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Now, people blessed him. He received that. But the thing is, his purpose was to serve. So 1 John chapter 3 is our first text. We'll have many scriptures today. When you get the notes, you'll see in the notes as well. But 1 John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Now, we've been teaching and taught the past 4 weeks or so previous to last week about the love walk. Y'all got a hold to that. You are loving people. It's a loving church. I know it is. But there's always the need to improve our serve. The greatest players, athletes in the world, they have to keep working on their game. You know, in the Olympics just passed, there's this guy named Usain Bolt. Everybody knows about this guy? Big guy, runs fast. And, you know, well, runs fast is like understatement. He's the fastest man in the world, fastest man ever run, you know, in a sprint. Here's the thing, though, that he, in the previous Olympics, you know, just swept everything. But between that Olympics and this Olympics just passed, he had begun to be beat in races. Matter of fact, in the trials leading up to the Olympics in his own country, Jamaica, he got beat twice by one of his teammates. I mean, got beat. And people say, wow, this is the, how is this possible? And so he fessed up, you know, saying, hey, you know, I've not been focused like I should. I've not really been focused and doing what I got to do. And he realized as great as he is, as great, without improving his serve, his game, he began to be caught and passed by his own teammates. Amen? Now, we're not talking about competing here, obviously, but the point is, let's be the best we can be. Say, Father, I want to be, and I will be, and I am the best I can be. And so, just as he found out, we must find out. And so, but the love walk, walking in love, love in deeds and truth is where everything starts in serving. So I'm going to give you some scriptures here. And we'll leave, we'll skip through some things. You have notes, you'll see in a moment. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Words of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 2. And we're going to read a few verses. It says 1 through 11. It's not quite that many verses, but the scripture, what's the verse that begins with? So if there is any comfort or encouragement in Christ, that's what, verse 9? So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort or love, what verse is that in Philippians 2? I know. Look it up. Philippians 2. Okay. All right. So if there is any comfort or any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection or sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, and have this mind among yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. So Paul made it very plain that we want to be people of love, people who are looking out for the interests of others, who have the same love to all people, amen, people who are in one accord of the same mind, that we're doing everything not from what benefits me, what benefits others, operating in the sense that we have the mind of Christ. So Christ showed us how to love and serve, didn't he? Yes. Amen. So we're improving our serve when we look at what Paul said, what the Bible says, and follow the examples that we have of Christ. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 44. I'm going quickly. Mark 10, verse 44. Jesus said, whoever will be first among you must be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, Jesus Christ, among his disciples, there was a problem in the culture, in his own men, where people like the Pharisees had an example where they put themselves out in front of everybody as being, you know, the only ones you can talk to about God. The Pharisees put themselves in a position where they made themselves preeminent without really serving. But Christ came and flipped that script and said that, no, the greatest among you are those who serve, the servant of all. And so that serving, blessing, and helping, you know, however God gave us to do that, is the example Christ has for us. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So we improve our serve when we keep in our mind that greatness isn't measured just by how much one does or how big one's church is or how much money one has. Greatness is defined by how we serve. Amen? Again, going by God's word and by God's pattern. And again, there's a blessing in that for us. Galatians chapter 5. Turn there, please. Galatians 5. Verse 13 says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only not use your freedom. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, example of this, you know, in this church, we don't have a dress code. Well, you should. No, we shouldn't have a dress code. Don't need a dress code. You know why? Because we preach freedom. We also preach responsibility. Amen. Amen. And the thing is, people who have Christ in them, people who understand the Spirit of God, are going to examine themselves. Amen. And that if we need to encourage a young man, a young woman, we can encourage them, you know, about the things. But there's no dress code. We don't have to have laws and codes. We were delivered from that. We're not in the Old Testament. We're New Testament. Amen. Listen, y'all, when you begin to set up codes of conduct and begin to make that the basis of righteousness, man, we have defeated and we have offended the Spirit of God. Yeah, folks should do right. Folks should dress modestly. The Bible says all that. Doesn't it say that? So, but let's get people in the Word. Let's point people to the standard of the Word. Let's improve our serve by telling folk what the Word of God says. Amen. And then praying for folk and looking and giving time and space for folk to come up in Christ and grow up. Amen, amen, church? Amen. I mean, I was a part of Holiness Movement for a minute. And the thing I saw is, you know, with some of these people, I mean, you know, when I was, well, put like this, I wasn't saved. I was like under conviction, but hung around some Pentecostal folk. I was among people enough to realize and peep the game, okay? And so I feel like, so with some of them sisters, the thing is, you know, they wouldn't go to the dance, but they do other stuff. Now, you know, I'll leave it at that, okay? So, now, not with me, I mean, in general. The point is, you know, whenever people got a code of conduct, they begin to feel self-satisfied by it. It's a major deception that leads to a whole other life that nobody knows about. See, so we don't want to be people who have an appearance of one way of living, but live some way else. Amen. So let's Bible says, let's understand the fact that we have been called to liberty, but don't use it as an occasion to the flesh. He says, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. We got to improve our serve by loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. And we love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We do what's right. You know, we don't hurt ourselves. No one goes out and, you know, and does things to injure themselves unless there's something wrong with them majorly in their mind. So the same respect you give yourself, you should give that and more to other people. Amen. And more than that, because we love God and God loves us. Amen, church? Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Turn there, please. Verse 10 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied or manifold grace. Whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Whoever serves, serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Y'all got notes yet? No? Okay, all right. Now, the Bible says this, as each has received a gift. Say, I have a gift. So I have at least one gift. And if you have a gift from God, he says, use it to serve one another. Now, we have talents. We have our perspectives and views and opinions, which are all important. But the thing you want to serve people with is the gift. People need to see the gift. It's the gift from God that God wants you to serve to other people. Because your gift from God is the best thing you have. See, the gift I have from God is the best thing I have. Everything else is okay. But my best is what God gave me. That's why I got no problem trying to do what I just don't have grace to do or gifts to do. I got a lot of gifts. You have a lot of gifts. But I feel no pressure, you know, to try to sing and sing along. If I don't, I'll have a gift for singing. I can sing a little bit. I really can a little bit. I can sing a little bit. Everybody sing a little bit, but that's the problem. A little bit don't help us, you know. But yet, I have other gifts. I have a gift of serving and compassion and such. I mean, so whatever you gift you have, he says, use it. Say, use it. To serve one another as good stewards of God's manifold grace. So then, as far as God's concerned, we're not using our gifts in his service. We're not being good stewards. And the Bible says plainly, we should be, let men account us as stewards. Now, steward is one who manages the property and affairs of another. You can pass them out. Hey, let's just pass them out, please. I'm fine. Yeah, good. Thank you. You pass them out. Now, when you get these, please don't start reading. Amen. 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 Just hold on to them. We'll walk together. All right. But so a steward is, I always give you the example of the bank. The bank is the best example I can think of because the bank has your money. They got your money. They're holding your money, but they get to use the money. They get to invest it and, you know, make loans to people and such like that. But if you ever come say, I need my money, they got to have it for you. A good steward can say, hey, we had a problem today. We had a major loan go out. All the money got loaned out. Banks never say that. Come on. They never say that. But here's the thing. What gifts we have, one or many, for us to be good stewards means that we're going to have to understand the necessity of using our gifts and almost sometimes limiting what we do to our gifts, okay, to be the most productive for God. He says this. He says, if you speak as an oracle. An oracle is that which speaks, you know, of divine inspiration. That's which speaks only what God once said. He says, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. Here's the thing about it. Every gift God gives you, he gives you strength to use it. Amen. I'm in 1 Peter chapter 4 on the first page there of the outline. There you go. 1 Peter 4, you see that now. So then, as stewards, as gifted people, we improve our serve by saying, Father, I need strength. I need help for these gifts you've given me. Now, here's the amazing part about these gifts and the grace that go with it. Sometimes God, after you become a Christian, You get all new gifts sometimes. You get a whole new set of spiritual gifts. And sometimes you think, Lord, you know, I can't see myself doing that. God may put in your heart to give you a gift, let's say, to reach out, to encourage people, to prophesy, you know, in a way. And say, Lord, I got something to share, but I don't know how to share it. I feel it's overwhelming to me. Well, first of all, let some people help you and train you. Get some training, get some encouragement on how to use gifts. But here's the thing about it. When God gives you gifts, your excuse can be, well, Lord, you know, I'm just a child. I'm just young. I don't know what to do. Now, Jeremiah said that one day. Remember that? Jeremiah had the same issue. God said, I've given you, I want you to go out here. I want you to pull down and throw down. He said, build and plant and all that. He gave him this major word, big time word. I called you from a child, all this. He said, well, Lord, I can't do that, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to do that. And God's response wasn't, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some time to figure it out. No, God said, you're going to do what I ask you to do. And I will be with you. I will encourage you. I will help you to stand. I will give you what you need. So with the gift will come the grace, will come the power, will come the strength. So by improving your serve, you say, Lord, thank you for the strength. And you begin to minister and give. Now the gift, you may manifest that gift, may minister that gift in a very simple way. It may happen in a circle prayer group. Maybe you got circle prayer and you've never offered a prayer. You know God wants you to pray. You feel a grace to pray. And so maybe it's your turn to say, you know, I want to lead prayer here. Whoa, stepping out. That's where it starts, in the safe place, circle prayer. It may be something happens. You volunteer for a ministry in a church. You go to the training session for the volunteers for juvenile center. I mean, it always starts somewhere. Now, you don't start out on TV. You don't start out like, you know, in the stadium. Come on, somebody. You don't start out in some place where you aren't ready. But you must realize that he's given you a gift. You must use it. He says we must use it to serve one another. Here's the bottom line. He says, in order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So until we are giving God the gift and using strength to bring it, then we are not glorifying him. Can you say amen? Now don't read ahead of me. Now, hold on. Don't read ahead of me. Slow. Hold up. Hold on. Time. I'll get there. I know it's tough, you know, but don't read ahead of me, please. We'll get there. Acts 20. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Praise God. And apostles make this clear. Now, it's interesting that we don't have a record of Jesus saying that. But the Bible said in John, many things, if all the things Christ said were put in books, all the books couldn't contain them. So here's an instance where something was heard, said by Jesus Christ and put in the scripture, this part of scripture called Acts. Amen. But he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And giving is about serving, isn't it? And so if you ever feel a deficit, Lord, I don't know where my manifestations are. I don't see what's happening. I don't see the commensurate. I don't see the money coming in. I don't see blessings and all this. Well, just let's stop. Improve the serve. Improve your serve. Check your technique and make sure that you are serving other people. Are you serving? Are you giving? Because we cannot reap what we have not sown. Amen. Amen. And God is, he loves you. I mean, God has all this. He has empathy and compassion for us. But, man, God just does not respond to whining and complaining. He just don't nothing move God like faith. Amen. Faith and simple trust and humility. So serving in the kingdom is such a fundamental principle that Jesus demonstrated the necessity of serving by washing the disciples' feet. He did something helpful to people in that culture. So washing feet, you know, people walked in sandals, feet got dust, didn't have clothes in shoes like we have today. So dusty feet was a common problem. People washed their feet all the time. But for Jesus Christ to wash his disciples' feet, it was a sign to them of his heart, of his willingness to serve in whatever way he could serve. That's the whole point to that. And he gave them an example, said, you should follow my example of serving and doing what's necessary to be a blessing to people. And, you know, feet are not the prettiest things in the world. Come on, somebody. I mean, we got like paper. We got places that you can go get your feet done, you know. I got in trouble on Facebook Because a friend, a Facebook friend of mine, when a guy was getting a pedicure and a manicure and stuff, you know. I'm like, dude, what's up with that? And I got all people got on my case, like, dude, everybody should get a manicure. I said, okay, I messed up. Forgive me. I didn't think men did that, you know. But dudes, I didn't know. So brothers, if y'all doing that pedicure, manicure thing, I mean, forgive me, you know. Because I got to come up, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I'm going to work on something. I break my nail a lot. You know, I'm always doing stuff, and my nail get broken, and I don't know what to do. Anyway, God bless the brothers for doing the pedicures and manicures. But the point is, usually in those days, nobody had that going on. So when you took them sandals off and looked at them feet, it's like, oh, my God, you know, woo. And they, you know, they got down there and washed those feet. Because servants don't care the condition of the feet, you know. I mean, today we have foot washing service, but everybody bring, they all bring clean feet, you know. Come on, you better bring some clean feet to the foot washing service. We should bring dirty feet. Tell you what, let's do foot washing Wednesday. Nobody wash their feet until Wednesday. We're going to have a foot washing service. Y'all ain't feeling that? I'm going to be here. All right. Amen. But we do other things like that. We help people. But the point is, the really important issue is that whether one is a leader or a follower, we should all be servants. Because in fact, my definition of a leader, see, leaders is the short term. The full term is servant leader. We may say leader sometime, but the full term is always, in my mind, servant leader. Say servant leader. Servant leader. That's what we are, servant leaders, all right? We may say leader, but, you know, to say it faster, but in essence, we're always servant leaders if we're in leadership positions. So serving God through serving others, as the Bible defines, is an unknown concept in our society today. People don't think about that. I mean, today, American society, in fact, the world at large, is about securing their own personal comfort and success at the expense of other people. Whatever it takes to get over, I'm gonna get mine. I'm going to get rich or die trying, you know, they say, used to say. I guess that's old news, too. But being a servant requires training and practice and adjustment in one's mind and one's attitude to accept a new way of living. Serving is a whole new way of living. And when I came into Christ, I had to learn that. I had to learn how to live a whole different way. So I don't expect folk to do things for me. I receive whatever help I can get. But I don't, you know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, I was reading in a blog post of a person who was thanking God for a very famous person who was a singer, and that this person was not fussy. You know, some singers are so fussy until they have their requirements. Got to have, you know, first class air, which is acceptable, you know, at a certain level. But say, well, I got to have, you know, pink flowers and a purple vase. You got the wrong color vase. I mean, you know, I mean, some people, you know, are just so picky, you know, and that's the wrong spirit. That you know, we accept whatever we can receive, and folks should do the best they can to bless. But the thing is, I'm not fussing about stuff like that. We don't fuss. Servant leaders, man, we're gonna let ourselves, we're gonna adjust our attitude, because the world is full of people, you know, who are considerate and inconsiderate. The world's full of all kinds of people. Amen. So I want to share this lesson, and this lesson is from a Firm Foundation series, so this is not new information today. But let me say this. God's servant is called. Say, I'm called. God's servant is chosen. Say, I'm chosen. God's servant is consecrated. Say, I'm consecrated. And consecration, you know, means we're focused on him in holy ways. So we're called, chosen, and consecrated. And so our willingness to walk in submission and walk in obedience to God and assisting other people is rooted in our covenant love. All right, again, love is always in the picture. Love always comes in the picture when we talk about serving and blessing and leading. And so also mutual respect for one another's place before God. So then when I go among others, you know, I go in sometime and I'm at the churches ministering or I'm just someplace visiting and I'm a pastor, you know, but I don't make my way to the front, you know. And stand by the front row like, you know, where's my seat? You know, I don't do that. I just go sit in the back and they come get me if they want to, you know. I ain't got to be up there. And then You know, I mean, I'm just there. I mean, so I'm there to serve, be a blessing, and if I can have, you know, I'll be ready to share a word if you want me to. But I didn't come to be recognized. And sometimes, you know, as a pastor and leader, sometimes I don't go places just because I don't want to be called out. You know, I want to just be a sheep today. Let me go back here and sit in that back row and get some word. But it's hard to do that when you're a pastor. People know you, you know, they pull you up front and all that. I remember one time I had Pastor Crooms. He stopped by to see us. I feel bad about it now. Pastor Crooms from Muncie. He came by on vacation. And I love the man, and he's a pastor as long as I have, I think, or longer. But the thing is, he was here on vacation in the city, and he came to visit us a couple of years ago. He's in vacation mode, you know, with leisure suit, no socks, none of that. Just he's chilling, you know, big time, you know. And I called him up, you know. He said as much that, you know, I'm just, God bless you. I'm here to just be blessed, and went and sat down. I thought I shouldn't have called him up here. But then sometimes you don't know if people, you got to call people up. You don't know if it's going to be a problem. I should have known better. I know Pastor Crooms. But leaders like him and like us, you know, we want to just serve God's purpose. Amen. We want to be obedient. We want to walk in submission. We want to make sure our hearts are in the right place before God. And that's why improving our serve is always necessary. Amen. We always have to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith. All right. Let me give you some pointers now. On the outline, you'll see, I think, page 2. On the back there, first page. All right, some quick points. Servants seek to. I'm going to hit these quickly. And there's a scripture there. You can go and research all the scriptures. I'm pulling out one or two here. But servants seek to follow the example of Jesus in life and practice. It says there, Jesus said in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So we serve Jesus and recognize that if we're going to serve him, we got to follow him, be where he is, all right? If we serve others in purpose and ministry, let's be where they are, amen? If you're going to be a leader, you're going to be a follower, if you're going to serve, serve. And serving is not the thing we do just, you know, at church. We want to be a servant in our heart at all times. You know, Dr. Johnson, one of my mentors, Earl Johnson, he shared a story and how that he had some ushers in the church years and years ago, and they just didn't like, you know, they were good ushers when the service was going. When service was out, they trying to get home, you know. And so trying to get people out, you know, it's time for y'all to leave. And not even after a while when it's appropriate to say it's maybe time to move on. No, I mean, right after service. And so that they just were giving the impression that, you know, I just need y'all to leave, and you know, so Pastor John said, look, you can go. Why don't you just leave? Let the people fellowship. See, sometimes serving, we just want to define it, or I should say confine it to a certain way. If you're going to be a servant, you got to be there until everybody is finished. Amen. Or at least have in place the means by which we continue to serve people, whether it's ushers, hostesses, whatever it is. Let's just be in place until it's time to go. You know, sometime in meetings, we're at a meeting and we're getting a little fidgety, and so it's almost near the end. This happens in big meetings a lot, where when it gets near the end, people start walking, you know, get a head start to the parking lot and that kind of thing, you know. What I do is, unless I got an emergency, I'm going to stand right there until they say you're dismissed. I'm not going to fidget. I ain't going to start talking to people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, until they say, God bless you, have a great day, I'm going to stay focused in that meeting. Amen? So then, you know, it's important that servants recognize that when you're going to follow, follow. If you're going to be there, be there. If you're going to serve, make sure you serve. Because that's how we serve Jesus, and that's how we can be served, or you can serve, if we understand the principle. Follow his example. Number 2, serve others as unto the Lord and in seeking to please him. The Bible says in Titus 2:9, it says, exhort bondservants or servants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not showing, but showing all godly fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. Now, this thing about servants, some versions say slaves. Let me say this. Where the Bible says the Bible says slave, that is not the best word, at least for our culture. You know what I'm saying? I mean, We got sensitivity about that word slave, don't we? I mean, in our culture. I mean, I ain't nobody's slave now. Oh, so, you know. But what it meant, a bondservant was not the person who was sold on the block and taken to the plantation and beaten and all that. But the bondservants in those days were people. Maybe sometimes they had a debt they could work off through serving. But it wasn't a torture situation. It wasn't always an abuse situation. It was more of an employer situation. That's the best analogy, really, to this text, is employer or employee to employer. That's probably the best way. Or in some instance where we're serving in a team and so forth, where there's a recognized leader. So in this sense, there's a certain ethic, a certain way that the scriptures say we ought to serve, and we ought to be well-pleasing, ought to be in a position where we recognize that we're helping and serving and being a part of something greater. And even though we can't always agree on stuff, we always walk in love. Amen? And we always speak, we always act and speak in a way that contributes to the unity of the overall faith, in the case of church, but in the case even at your job. You know, if you're on the job and you're a Starbucks employee, even though you got people in there that don't act right, guess who's acting right? We're acting right, amen? We understand what the company's about, what they're trying to do, even though we don't even drink coffee, don't even like coffee. But we understand that they sell coffee, we're going to help them sell coffee and be the kind of servants that are respecting not just the leaders, but the whole enterprise, amen? Whatever it is, coffee shop, business, church, whatever, amen? Number three, let others evaluate their progress. Servants, let others evaluate their progress. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Now, the Bible does say, let your light so shine men may see your good works. Well, the thing is, yeah, let your light shine. Do what God's called you to do and let people see the glory of God working through you. That's a good thing. What we don't have to do is just tell people, hey, I'm God's man of faith and power for the hour. Don't do that. Amen. Don't get them to say, I got a powerful word. I got a great word. We'll see if it's great and powerful. You know, just preach. Amen. Or just teach or just sing. You know, I mean, and sometimes with singing is even more of a situation because people say, I want to sing. Well, let me hear you. Oh, what am I say? I see, you know, I mean, people want to sing. They can't sing. It's like, what are you going to do? I can let you sing. Not a solo. We got to put you in an ensemble and turn your mic all the way down. Amen. No, that's a bad pastor. No, it ain't bad. It's worse to have guests and unsaved people, people who have been down to the club and down to the nightclub and seen excellence at the nightclub. Come on. People see excellence in nightclubs, in performances. Y'all don't know that? They see excellence in concerts, go to a movie. And so now, people expect to see the best of the best. I mean, obviously, they understand the fact that none of us are as good as, ain't nobody good as a person like Whitney, you know. But do expect us to do our best and work on whatever gift we have. People know when you're working on your gift or not. People have, listen, we've all seen glimpses of what everybody can do in God. Now, don't show us a glimpse. Let's see more. That means get back in prayer. Get back in preparation. Get more training. Let's let God bring out of us every time we minister, every time we're helping, serving, the best we can be. And no one got a problem with us bringing our best if the best is not like, you know, some multi-million dollar performance. Nobody expects that from us, but people expect us to bring us our best. Amen, church?
Amen.
Bring them our best. So that's a very important point. Let others evaluate our progress. Let others praise us, not we ourselves. Number four, maintain a pure heart and proper attitude toward leaders. Servants seek to maintain a pure heart and proper attitude toward their leaders and all others. Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:12, we urge you, brothers, to recognize those who are among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. So we have to keep our hearts right and our hearts pure and attitude clean and all that toward our leaders. Because we leaders give you reasons not to sometimes, amen. But the fact is, we leaders make mistakes, call us out on mistakes, and all that happens. But at the same time, I believe all of us who serve, all of us who lead, I mean, this family I know for sure, that I don't have any question about what's in your heart, amen. What's in our head sometimes? That's different. But what's in the heart, it's never a question about what's in the heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's just that simple. And thank God, again, thank God for love. Love is the foundation of everything. Amen, church? It really is. Amen. And I expect you to talk to me and call me out, you know, when necessary and appropriate, you know. But at the same time, let's all just improve our serve every day. Everything gets better. Amen, church? Number five, servants seek to resist the temptation to advance themselves. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under God's mighty hand, and he will exalt you in due time. So let God exalt you. I tell you what, God won't let people overlook your gift. I know I won't overlook a gift. But the thing is, we have to let God bring us forth in due time, because God knows what he has in mind for you. God knows the plan. He knows the purpose he has both today and tomorrow. Amen, church? Now, I'm going to skip some points. You got the outline. You can read the outline when you get a chance. I'm going to skip through now and take a few to shorten our time together at this part. Look at number nine. Now, servants seek to communicate clearly and sincerely with others. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5 and 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, but with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, the word sincere means this. It means to be in reality what you appear to be. Sincerity is one of those things that, you know, we cannot measure it. We cannot objectively say what is and what's not. So we have to decide to improve our serve and just seek to be in public what we are privately. We want to keep the feast. That is, do the will of God, not with old stuff, old leaven and old influences, but let's bring the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You know, we buy bread today. We get these loaves of bread. They're all fluffy and all that. Look like a big piece of loaf. That bread has been inflated, come on, with leaven. If you got, you know, now my wife's been buying recently, been buying unleavened bread recently. That's a sad sight. Unleavened bread is a sad little sight, but it's the real deal. Without all the extra puffiness, you know. It's like, that's the bread, you know. That's the new bread for us. All right, baby, that's the bread, you know, which is fine with me. I don't like bread much anyway. But it's a strange sight looking there and see a little flat little bag, and that's the bread right there. That's all of it. And there's as much bread in that little flat bag as is in that big old puffy thing. It's just all inflated, see? So God says, don't be Wonder Bread. Come on. be leaven. Be real bread. Amen. All right. Number 11, place the interests of Christ's church over personal interests. The Bible says in Philippians 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So we understand that, you know, there's no big I's and little U's. Amen. That before God, there's no male, no female, no bond or free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Our authority might be different. Our purpose might be different. Our grace is different. But our value is the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then finally, number 12, promote the purpose and vision of the ministry in which we serve. That is, servants seek to promote the purpose and vision of the ministry in which they serve, not themselves. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, be no divisions among you, that you have the be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. To have the same mind means we have to have the same vision, to embrace the vision of the house. We have to recognize what's been said, what's been preached, and what's been published. We have to be, you know, at least look at the literature, look at the website. I mean, look at the blogs. Let's see what God is saying to the house, to the pastor, and to the leaders. Others I bring up here to preach to you, leaders, you know, look at what we're saying. Look at what I'm saying. Read it, comprehend it, and embrace it. Amen. Now, if you got a problem with it, let's talk about it. But let's recognize the fact that we cannot become any stronger or grow any more than we're willing to allow ourselves to grow. The Bible says we edify ourselves in love. We actually are the ones responsible for our own growth through the help of God. You believe that? It really is. So we can't have, you know, more than one vision. That's called division. Got to have one vision. And the vision came to us a long time ago. when the church began, and it's been updated, we've said things over the past. God's spoken to me. I've shared it with the church. Pastor speaks vision. That's the vision of the house. We embrace it. And we grow together. You believe that? Y'all believe that? Okay. Well, that's the way it works. Amen. It's the best. And the thing is, see, we all, there's the core vision that actually is a very brief statement of purpose, but the larger vision is built out by the people of God. We all build out. We build on the foundation that has been laid. You believe that? So servants seek to do that. Servants, in fact, do that. So we're all serving. When I go in among others, Pastor Earl or Dr. Williams or wherever I'm ministering or serving or being a part of a conference convention, it's all about, okay, what's the theme of that convention? One thing they know about me, you invite Brian Huston to speak, I'm going to speak exactly on the theme. I don't use the theme to preach my favorite message. I'm going to preach exactly what the theme is and use the scriptures they gave me. They give me a theme. I'm preaching it. They give me a half hour. We stay in a half hour, hour. The thing is, when we're asked to be a part of something, be a part of something. Amen? Don't be eyeglass Christians coming to correct vision. Amen? The vision's already, it's already clear. Amen, church? All right, servants avoid, number one, overstepping authority, prejudging others, or operating in presumption. Bible says we don't judge other people's servants. To his own master he stands or fall. Indeed, the Lord will make him to stand. God is able to make him to stand. So then all of us servants, all of us leaders, all of us, you know, in family and in business and in enterprise, I mean, everyone is accountable to somebody. And so therefore, I can't judge the other person's servant. All right, I'm a servant elsewhere. Others serve me. I serve. So then we all have to keep it all straight in that we can't judge another's servant. But he says, but to his own master, he stands or falls. So if we're properly related and accountable, people are speaking to us about what God would have us to know. Friends are talking to us, family members, spouses. I mean, there is in God a way that things should operate. Amen. And that's one important point. Number two, servants avoid looking for the praise of men, but are humbly appreciative of any compliments. They also realize that some of the so-called compliments are only flattery. Here's an interesting scripture here. This sounds good at first. Like it says, and this girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. That sound good, don't it? That sound good? That sound good? But keep reading. You'll find out that she kept saying that, but it wasn't the spirit of God. It was a spirit of divination. Paul rebuked that spirit because it was a spirit of flattery. And it wasn't really sincere and genuine praise. It was just a distraction going forth. I was preaching years ago in my granddad's church, and I was up there preaching, and a guy in the back row said, preach, boy, preach. First time it sounded like it was appropriate. And he kept going, preach, boy, preach, preach, boy. Oh, I said, I rebuke you, devil. He sat down and got quiet. The devil was praising me. I don't want the praises of the devil. But he was being a distraction in the guise of flattery. You follow what I'm saying? We don't want that. Now, there's sincere praise and there's, you know, honorable things to say to people. We should say those things. But recognize, too, that we don't look for that. We just accept whatever comes. And then sometimes your mindset should be, really, if I don't expect that, I won't be disappointed if it doesn't come. Amen? All right. Number three, servants avoid promoting themselves because of their faithfulness alone. Here's a curious scripture here. Look at this. Luke 17, verse 7. Jesus said, which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat, but will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drink, and afterward you can eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you've done all those things which commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. This sounds like an odd scripture, but here's what it's saying. If you're serving, serve. We don't serve because, you know, if I keep serving, I'm going to get higher up in rank or I'll have benefits. No, we just serve because we're serving. We're on assignment to serve, just serve. And so Jesus is not being ungrateful. He's just saying that when we're serving, let's keep our heart and mind where it needs to be. Let's just serve and do what our job is, do what's expected of us. Let's be the best servants we're supposed to be. And when the serving season ends, it's a different season. It's a different time, a different way of responding, different way of acting when we're not in the serving mode. Sometime now, let me be with ushers and different ones. Let me say this. Now, to my ushers, great job, all right, but when you're serving in music, in praise, in video, children's church, you know, serve. Do the job. Don't break off and start talking to folks about everything in the world. You know what I'm saying? And then people walking right by, children out of control. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as long as we're serving, let's stay on task. Say hi to people. God bless you. Let me get back to you in a little bit here. You know, let's stay on task. But then more than that, once we're finished serving, if no one says to us, thank you, then don't be offended by that. The thank you will come. Amen. The blessing will come. The point is, if we have to have people to say that all the time to us, thank you, or we get some reward every time we do a little something, that is not how we should operate. Amen, church? That's not the heart of a servant. So again, let's improve our serve. Say, Lord, help me. Improve my serve. Now, we send time, when you send somebody out to, like, pick up a guest speaker from the airport, for example. And, you know, I have a guest coming in. Well, one thing that I've learned, I was taught when I was involved with a conference. I went and picked up T.D. Jakes from the airport. Okay, I was a pastor, but I was in the serving team of a conference we had. And so my job was to pick up Bishop Jakes. All right. And I was giving instruction. When you pick up Bishop, don't ask him a bunch of questions. Don't start talking to him unless he talks to you. See, people think, oh, I'm with Jakes. I've had these questions all my life. I'm going to ask these questions now. How'd you get started? Where you come from anyway? Why you got that Jerry curl on your head? You know, yeah, Jerry curl back then. But see, I just said, God bless you, sir. Welcome to Atlanta, with the conference in Atlanta we're hosting. I just served. He asked me a couple of questions. I responded. He had his mind. He was on assignment. That preacher don't want to talk to you in the car. You're the guy at the airport picking him up. Now listen, it isn't like I'm nobody with the great man of God. No. See, when you're serving, you're serving. We're not being buddies. In other words, we weren't friends before I was sent up there to get him. We ain't going to be friends afterwards. It's my opportunity. I'm asking for something. I remember, you know, when you get around folk with money, and you're going to talk, you know, throwing hints, I need a little money. Don't do that. Come on. Let's improve our serve. If you're on assignment, be on assignment. Do what you're asked to do, and only that. Amen, church? Amen. I mean, so this serving, it seems simple, but there's a lot to it, and it's a blessing in doing so. All right, so then let me just skip ahead now. We've gone a little past the time, well, kind of way past. Number five, servants avoid allowing circumstances. Now, number eight. Servants avoid allowing circumstances to change their focus, commitment, or duty. That's so important because, you know, conditions change, weather changes, circumstances change on the ground. We have to continue to serve and not let these events and circumstances change our focus. Now, something you can't help if you get sick. I'm not talking about not getting sick and emergencies, accidents. You can't help that. But it's important to serve. And to be consistent and have the faith to be stable enough to bring stability to your life where you're clear to serve God. Amen. No warrants, nothing like that. Come on, somebody. You know, had a guy one time ministering for us and, you know, he got arrested. He was a musician. And where's so-and-so? He got arrested. He's in jail. What happened? Parking tickets. Oh, okay. Well, it wasn't like a major crime. But I need you to, you know, I can't, if I hire you, I need you to, you know, be available. So if you got some issues, I need to know, you know, if you got the issues, you're going to get arrested and stuff. I need to know that, you know. Y'all all right? If you're going to be a servant, man, don't bring a bunch of baggage in there. Gonna mess the, then you get in there and all this stuff come up. Tell the leader, hey, I got issues. I got baby daddies. I'm a baby daddy. I'm a baby mama. I got kids everywhere. Nothing wrong with that. God bless you. But listen, I'm being honest. If you're going to be a servant, be the best servant you can be. Let people know I've had some issues in my life, but I'm overcoming. Pray with me. Stand with me. What's wrong with that, y'all? Let people know, because when you're serving, you want to be the best servant you can be. And sometimes we can't serve because of things that come up in our lives. So let people know, hey, pray for me. Because, listen, if it's the right situation, you got a leader who holds things in confidence, who will sit with you, pray with you, and get you a breakthrough. Amen. But don't just not show up because we find out you got arrested out of that. That won't do. Y'all all right? Anybody got any warrants on them? No. I need to know. No, I don't need to know. Nobody here got a warrant. I'm just saying. Let folks know how you're doing. What's up? You know, I mean, so one time I had a guy, and years and years ago, and I got a call from this woman talking about so-and-so over there. He with me last night. I'm like, oh, God. Why you tell me, man? You let me, I put you up here, and you got women going on out there? She called me about you. I got a letter one time from this church in California, addressed to Pastor John Doe. I mean, the person's name was there. Pastor John Doe. I said, brother, why I got a letter from Pastor John Doe? Addressed to Pastor John. You tell a guy you were a pastor? He did. He told a guy he was the pastor of this church. They sent a letter to the church with his name, Pastor John Doe. You just can't do stuff like that. You just can't make up. You cannot pretend to be somebody way out in California. It's going to come back to me. You just can't do stuff like that. So servants, we got to improve our serve. We got to clean all this mess up. Amen. If it's out there, if it ain't there, don't worry about it. Because the fact is, you know what? God wants to help us all. He wants to help us all. And we don't want to have any issues that would hinder our, not just hinder our service, but our witness to the community. And most of all, grieve the Spirit of God. All right, last point. Self-examination. Quickly, let's do this when we're out. Checklist. Number one, I feel guidelines hinder my personal freedom. Yes or no? Number two, I am willing to wait indefinitely to be promoted. Yes or no? Number three, I can do what I am asked to do and trust my leaders are following God. Yes or no? Number four, I need to speak up when I believe it's time for me to advance. Number five, yes or no? I look for men to praise me when I do something right. Number six, I'm afraid of being controlled by others. Number seven, I pray more for my own needs than for the needs of others. Number eight, I can think now of some people who are hindering my success and growth. Number nine, I can serve God better in some place other than where I am right now. Not bad, huh? Not even new. We shared this thing years ago, many times. But these are important items for servants to get clear. And by the way, there's no need for me to give yes or no right, wrong answers, right? Is it obvious what the right answer is in every instance? Amen. So again, let's improve our serve, because here's the bottom line. We get to love God. We get to walk in blessing. There are tremendous blessings that come when we serve. We find keys. We find openings. Doors are open to us. I mean, so much come to us in relation to how we serve God and other people. Amen, church? Let's all stand. Let me pray.